The McElroy brothers are not experts. And their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert. But if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. It feels like life. It's better with you. My life. It's better with you. This is true. It's better with two. My life. It's better with you.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, my brother. My brother. Being advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
What's up, Trav Nation? I'm your middlest brother, Travis Big Dog, a woof woof McElroy.
What's up, Trav Nation? I'm your sweet baby brother and 30 under 30 media luminary, Griffin McElroy.
I had a question for you before we begin. They told us when we booked the shows that either Tyson's or Tyson's Corner, Virginia, is acceptable, and I do not like that.
No fucking way, man.
I don't like that. There's one that's right and one that's wrong. Please enlighten me as to which.
I prefer
okay,
Tyson's.
Okay, see, I worked in Percival, Virginia for two summers. Shout out, Percival. And it was always Tyson's Corner to me, and I don't know about this slick Tyson's rebrand. Okay,
I'm so go hi, with Ty-town.
No, I don't. I think I'm so. Gonna say hello, Tyson's Corner. Thank you for having us in your beautiful town.
I'm so excited you're all here in Trav Nation Embassy. Tonight for the next 2 hours, you all have diplomatic immunity.
Congratulations. I prefer the possessive Tyson's Corner over just a random plural Tyson.
Yeah.
We live in many Tysons.
This is Tyson's Corner.
Yeah.
What are you doing standing here? This is Tyson's Corner, man. If he sees you.
We should mention
our trophies.
This has never happened before.
We won something.
To us. The fine folks here at the Capital One Hall brought us these little trophies that have our name on them, and it says sold out on it. And that has nothing to do with us and everything to do with you. So it's kind of all of our trophies. We will be...
No fucking way, man. This is my first goddamn trophy.
It is nice because they put the date on there, too, so it's nice to pinpoint when I sold out.
Yeah.
It's really nice that we can look back on it and be like, when did Travis... Oh, it was the 23rd of June, 2024. Yeah, man, he went totally capitalistic at that point at Capital One.
Yeah,
it worked out.
It's just I never thought I'd get a trophy again, you know?
Yeah.
After I was 14?
When you were a scorekeeper for the basketball team?
Yeah, that was probably my last main trophy. And it's just nice to get a trophy again.
Yeah.
Well, you have kids now, and any trophy they win is kind of yours, too.
That's a good point.
They haven't won any trophies either. Not a big...
Well, one day they'll start a podcast that'll sell out a big crowd and get a special trophy for it. My only regret is that this is the first tour maybe ever that Dad hasn't tagged along for, and he doesn't get to see his three sons win their first three trophies ever.
So you all need to take a picture of us with the trophy, post it for our dad.
We'll put our dad's phone number up on the screen.
If you would all text photos of us to our dad at various angles. See
to
how
prove
much you
it's
can
not
ransom.
Photoshopped.
Try to ransom us to our dad. See how it goes. I would love to know.
I'd like to know how much we're worth
to
dad.
What's the figure to dad?
What's the going rate?
I mean, after these trophies, man, we're going to be sitting pretty.
Maybe if everyone could take a picture of us with the trophies and then post it on social media with a caption like, they did it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then
yeah,
it's like, if you're not looking too close, you'd be like, damn, I don't know what it was, but it looks pretty good. I mean, yeah, I guess they won the big podcasting award.
Is that a Grammy?
Is that the podcasting Grammy?
Did they get the first podcasting Grammy?
Yes. As you've certainly guessed, this is an advice show. And we're going to take your questions and turn them alchemy-like into wisdom for your edutainment right now before your very eyes. I live in Colonial Williamsburg in a small apartment complex. Heck of a Great Wolf Lodge there.
Yeah.
Is that where you live, question asker? Do you live at the Great Wolf Lodge? Because nice.
A couple sick setup
that's
you
some
got there.
Sweet Life of Zach and Cody shit.
A couple months ago, people started gathering at night outside one of the dumpsters. The small gathering has since evolved with people bringing chairs, then a grill. Now there's a whole TV set up in someone's trunk. Brothers, how do I get invited to the dumpster party? This happens almost every night, and I'm so curious what their deal is, but I don't want to seem like a narc. That's from Nosy Neighbor in Colonial Williamsburg. Are you here?
All right.
Nice.
You're so high up.
Yeah.
I'd invite you to the dumpster party.
Yeah. Is it possible, and I hadn't considered this possibility before, but it did start as something illicit, and then they were like, you know, as long as we're here,
yeah, this is a
chill
spot.
Let's get to know each other.
Yeah.
You guys want to watch Suits?
People started bringing their kids, and they're like, I don't know about this scene anymore, man. The dumpster party used to be about something.
Used to be a happening.
You know, no one has ever sent out, like, an e-vite to a dumpster party.
Right.
No one has ever, there's never been a knock at the door and the butler has lifted up a silver tray to say,
My lord, it's finally happened. The social event of the year.
I also don't think you can be uninvited from a dumpster party.
That's true.
Who's going to kick you out? It's a dumpster. You don't own this, probably.
Yeah. Maybe you do.
Now, what if you showed up in a raccoon costume?
Yes.
And then they're like, oh, they belong here.
Yeah.
They were here first. This is their land.
And then even if you can't pull off a convincing raccoon act, you've got an interesting story.
Yeah.
And they're going to want to know about it.
If you do amble down to the dumpster party, I would set aside a little time, just private time beforehand, where you can write down a list of things that you are and are not okay with happening at the dumpster party. Because you can't do any math then, right? You need a very clear, very long and detailed list of like, okay, that's my, okay, I'm going.
You're
next.
Passing what around? Look at the time.
Would I like
everybody
to,
starts pulling on ski masks. You're like, time to go.
Would I like to buy a, no, huh? I have to go. This has been so cool. But if I was a police, I would try to make you tell me more, right? We all agree about that? I'm not doing that. I'm just going. Goodbye.
I'll be back at the next dumpster party until this happens again.
And then I'll go.
Bye. Go on down there.
Or, you know,
don't do that.
Don't.
You can't just, when someone comes to us with such a finely crafted question like this, Travis, you can't just sweep the legs out from under it and say, just go to the dumpster party. What if they don't know anybody at the dumpster party?
Then you get to know them, or you show up and say, oh, sorry, I thought this was a different dumpster party. Well, as long as I'm here.
Yeah.
Have you considered the possibility that you are already at the dumpster party?
Oh, that up there, that's the peeper. They're a part of this community just like us, but the way they chose to interact with the party is looking at us from time to time.
We don't know much about them, but we like to believe they keep us safe somehow. They're watching for storms. They'll let us know if a storm's coming in.
If you come downstairs, they may be like, oh no, what omen? What portent has brought you down here, people?
What have you seen? You were on the wall. Are they coming? Keep us safe, people.
I have two children.
Brag.
Ages 6 and 4. It's not me. It's the question asker.
Oh, okay.
Who would like to learn to ride bikes? The problem is neither I nor my husband knows how to ride a bike. Brothers, how do I teach my children to ride bikes when I don't know how to do it myself? That's from Bipedal in Baltimore.
Are you here? Okay.
Now, wait. How many of you are there?
I'll fucking do it, man. No problem.
You'll teach them or teach their children?
Either or, man. Whatever. I'll do all four of you in one. I'll give you a group rate.
That's a good deal.
It's a pretty... I didn't even say what my rates are, but thank you, Travis.
I like to hype up your business ventures.
It's $1,500, but you only have to do it the one time, and I'm...
That
pretty...
actually doesn't make it better, Griffin. $1,500 for one session, no follow-up?
You're not paying me for the one session of bike riding. You're paying me for the 30 years of bike riding training that I've given out to people.
How Travis. Many other people have you trained to ride a bike?
Including my kids?
Yeah.
Zero.
Okay. Okay.
But you got one. You got one in the tank.
I got
huh?
it all pent up. I've got this beautiful moment pent up inside of me. I don't want my first time teaching people to ride a bike to be my kids. I'm not going to do a very good job at that.
Oh, okay.
You want to dry run with other people's kids.
I want to dry run.
You're going to use these kids as training wheels.
Yes.
That makes perfect. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. You know, one of the main things about learning to ride a bike is you should never look behind you. And I think that you That's can like use life. That to your advantage if you had another adult to step in for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
And you just encourage the child, do not look back.
Yeah.
Do not look back. I will be holding you and supporting you the whole way with all the different bike riding advice. And I might sound a little different than the Greeks do. That's just fear.
I might sound a little bit like extreme sports athlete Travis Pastrana. But don't worry
don't
about
worry,
it.
I'm not...
I'm right there. You might see me taking video from the side. That's
worry.
Just a swamp gas thing. Don't worry about it. That's a weather balloon, son. That's not me. You might see me through the window watching Suits.
You could. It would be a pretty great lesson about life if you taught your child to ride a bike, and then at the end you're like, okay, now me. Yeah. I didn't know. I had no clue. The whole time, I had no clue. I'm so glad you figured it out. I was making all that up. Pedal harder? What was I talking about?
I don't know, man. I don't
so
know how bikes work.
The whole time, I was sure you were going to fall.
I could just see me with a YouTube tutorial open on my phone with my child there like, there's no fucking way.
They put a towel under their arms? That can't
what's
be right.
No way.
Have you seen that? Instead of hunching over and holding, they just put like a big beach towel around and they hold it.
To catch all the pit sweat that the kids make.
I saw a video and they were like, here it is, parents, the easiest way. 2 minutes, your kid will be riding a bike. And they're like, start at the top of a hill. And it's like, okay, all right. So I told my kids, like, good news, kids, I got this problem solved. Yeah. And they were like, we won't be participating in this particular version of this. Like, you're going to need to take it back to the drawing board, Dad. This isn't working for us.
There is, in this modern era, almost always at least two schools of thought for every major parenting choice you can make. And one is very thoughtfully considered over generations and generations of human beings taking care of other human beings. And the other one is just do it fast and hard and bad.
Yeah.
And it's done. Hard, fast, bad, done. That's the secret.
You know, there had to be a time way, way back, millions of years ago, when the first, like, parent bird had baby birds in their nest and said, well, how am I going to teach them to fly?
Exactly.
I know. Boot! Yeah. Just right out there. I can't teach them in steps. Oh, I know. I'll just shove them out the nest.
Yeah.
Be like that bird.
No.
Risk
That's
it
beautiful,
all.
Travis. Definitely espouse that on stage with a stage that I am also on with you, and everyone can see both of us at the same time.
And also, I'm dressed like Toad. That was you.
That kicks
I was
ass, man.
To be you, like you, not.
Hey,
wait, hold on, real quick. Question asker.
Wow,
you seem to have lived into an adult life without ever learning to ride a bike. Maybe convince them they don't need it.
I struggle with that a lot because my kids will get frustrated and they're like, "Is this important?" And then they're like looking in the garage for my bike, like. Not gonna find it, kids.
I
mean, it's not there. I don't have one.
I want a trophy, and I've never ridden a bike.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest to a kid, I would say it's maybe once every couple of years. It's gonna be extremely important when all of your friends are like, "Bike time," and you're like, "Fuck." But the rest of the time, you can have diarrhea or whatever on the day, and you don't have to sweat it. That was sort of my MO.
Yeah.
I have a perfectly functional gastrointestinal system. It's just sometimes I'm inconvenienced by things I never really learned how to do.
Wow, you never learned how to do a lot of things.
Oh no, the house of cards I've built around myself.
I have been in various drumlines throughout the years and have marched world class to make it to finals in indoor drumline. I'm a cymbal player
and I always get excited to tell people about the things that I've done. However, when I mention symbols, they just clap their hands together and say, like this? But it's a lot more skill-based and complex than that. How do I convince people that my instrument is cool? That's from Cool Cymbal Crasher from Charlottesville.
Are you here? Okay, great. Obviously, there's more to it than just this.
Right.
Sometimes you got to hit them with a yeah. one of those.
Or maybe you kind of wiggle them gently together so it makes like a like slow build.
So that is called the shimmer, and that happens without them. It's they're already shaking. They're trying to control it with everything in
oh,
them
I
to
see.
Stop the shimmer.
Because yeah. the cymbals are drawn together naturally like magnets.
They're both yeah. magnetic.
A lot
yeah.
of the work is holding it apart.
Yeah.
I see.
Well, there's the rubber. The rubber action.
The rubber is the rubber, huge, rubber. Man.
People yeah. love it because they know something's about to happen, right? When you hear them start to scrape together, it's like, here it goes.
And in a marching band, it's also part of the flash and pizzazz. You got a big mirror strapped to your hand. You can right. do one of these.
Yeah, yeah.
Wave
yeah. People love that. You could throw it like Kung Lao's hat at an opposing marching band.
Would you say we've covered most of the stuff?
Would you be comfortable? I don't know if the microphone is out there. Would you be comfortable telling us more about cymbal playing? It's okay if the answer is no. Yeah, cool. Hi.
Hi, brothers.
Hello.
My name is Reagan. My pronouns are she, her.
Hi, Reagan.
Look, yeah, cymbals. They're really heavy.
Yeah.
They're really heavy.
They're really heavy.
Okay.
Like, wait, sorry, Reagan?
Yeah.
Is that what you wanted people to know about cymbals?
No.
We bring you up to the mic and we're like, tell us all about cymbals. And you're like, they're heavy.
Paul had to run
Thanks,
a quarter
everybody.
Mile. Many Pauls died to bring us this information.
Well, you do these things called juggles where you like throw them up in the air.
Yeah.
And you like rotate them a couple times.
Like, oh, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that you do. You got to make sure you catch them because if they fall on the pavement, they're going to crack.
Do you throw them like a Kung Lao hat at an enemy marching band ever?
But you could.
I pretended to use them as a guillotine a lot.
Fuck yeah.
That's cool. That's cool.
Reagan, let me ask you. If somebody's like, oh, just like that, and you could say like, no, they mean a lot more than that. And then someone's like, what do you mean? And you say, well, they're symbolic.
Shit. That's good.
My friends have said that before. They've made that pun a lot.
Yeah. Damn it. Thanks, Reagan.
God.
You could also... Oh, thank you. Oh. I don't know if Travis was dismissing you with that thanks,
no,
Reagan.
No,
that's right.
We have so many questions. Unless you want to sit down, that's fine. It's up to you.
I get it. I don't like standing either.
I don't get why people wouldn't think that's cool. It's the thing that... When you say, like, here's a marching band... Right? I think it's the thing people most look forward to that are that and when the drum major throws their shiny stick in the air and catches it.
Well,
like, those are the two best things.
And
when they make shapes.
Sometimes the marching band makes the shape of a Pac-Man and it yeah. moves around like Pac-Man and that's yeah. super goody.
When the symbol's like, shh, everybody loves it.
Yeah.
I should let you guys know my college marching band once made Sans Undertale.
That's fucking incredible. Absolutely. I think that the symbol. And I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, is the drop of marching band.
Yeah.
And you should wear that as a badge of honor. And if anyone gives you a hard time, you say, interesting. And then 30 minutes later, when they're not paying attention, you get right up behind their ass. And you give them a big one.
And then when they wake back up, you say, no, it's more like that.
Yeah.
Is there a strict ethical code about not giving people a full smash when they're unawares? Is there like, because I think that would be the first thing you learn is like, now listen, if I'm going to teach you how to do a full smash, you cannot do it when someone's unawares.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you ever smash the cymbals so hard that you're like, man, I wish I was further away from this?
Yes.
Is there a way to direct it out away from you? You got to smash it, but at an angle. So all of the sound goes forward and not back.
I mean, it still hits you either way.
Why do you do it?
That's
so loud.
It's the loudest,
scary. It's heavy. It smashes you in the face when you do it. Try the trumpet. That all goes out. A lot lighter, too.
Yeah.
And not everyone thinks a trumpet's
cool.
I
am curious. I am curious why you chose the cymbals, or did perhaps the cymbals choose you?
The cymbals chose me. It's a very long story.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't have to get into it. Thank you so much,
Reagan. I appreciate it. Thanks, Reagan.
Thank you, Reagan.
Hey, listen. When someone's on your podcast, and you ask them a question, they say it's a long story. I'm going to take them at their word. Okay. Yeah. We got a fast-moving show.
Yeah, Reagan can sell out a show here and tell the story if they want to.
Should we do another question?
I am a 13-year-old boy who is 5'9" tall. I'm already taller than everyone else in my family, but I want to, like, really want to hit 6 feet tall. Do you have any tips or advice for how to get at least 6 feet tall? That's from Bonus Inches in Bethesda.
Are you here?
Wait, are you here? Awesome.
Nice. Have you checked to see how much you've grown since you sent the question in?
It was 2 days ago. Okay, so I doubt it's that intense.
Well, you've come to the right place because we're 3 6-feet tall gentlemen.
What was your secret, Travis? What were the vegetables?
My secret? Yeah. Tall vegetables.
That's true, man. Celery.
Yeah.
That's the only tall vegetable that comes to mind.
Asparagus.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Asparagus is a tall vegetable. I think rhubarb, if you cover it, it grows weird and tall. I'm not sure.
The commercials say milk. Where are we at on milk? We feel like
I think milk is still one of the favorites.
That's
for
one
making,
of the ones
but
for
that
big
can also
bodies.
That just makes you denser. That's how I became 6 feet wide.
Yeah. Would you trade density for height?
Like any day of the week, man. No fucking problem. Absolutely.
So the same amount of molecules in your bones, just taller.
There's some places in my house only I can get to, and that's cool. You know what I mean? If there could be even more places that were my own little secret goblin holes, I could squirrel away little butterscotches and sweets in them, and no one would be the wiser. That's great for me. I would love a few more inches. It was you. There was one person who started laughing at that.
And then it started. It infected everybody. It was a
tragedy for me.
Why was that, do you think, when Griffin said he could use a few more inches?
I don't know what it was.
What about that was funny?
I'm 5'6", and I used to be 5'7".
Yeah.
And then I checked, and it was 5'6".
Yeah.
So I'm 5'6". And that doesn't bother me. I don't think of myself as a short, like, little guy pie.
It doesn't bother you that you lost an inch somewhere?
No, everybody makes mistakes. The point is, I don't think it bothers me, but sometimes I stand up on a little ledge. And yeah, I see anybody ever stand up on a little ledge and have a moment where they're like, I could get used to this. 4 inches. A 4-inch ledge, and I'm up there, I'm drunk on power.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm speaking like this.
Yeah, particularly thick sandals, and yeah. I'm like, whoa!
It's why cowboy boots exist.
Yeah.
To make those people feel cool.
Cool and tall.
That's why I wore them. They made me 6'5".
You know about space travel, right? Because that's the only definite option I know about.
Sorry?
Also like the rack.
If you go to space, you come back taller for a while.
Okay.
So if you get to like 5'11", and by the time you're adult, we're all going to space all the time, no big deal. You could get up there and maybe get that last.
So when you go in space, it pushes you apart, is what you're suggesting?
Only if you go in space when a big giant grabs your feet and spins around really fast and lets you go and you fly off into space.
Yeah.
Then it stretch you out.
I think if you get near a black hole, you would get pretty tall for a sec.
Yeah.
They say like when you wake up first thing in the morning, you're taller than by the end of the day as everyone's sunk down. So just don't get out of bed.
That's huge, man.
The more you lay down, the taller you'll get. That's science. Also bed sores.
Bed sores is another thing, but it's worth the trade-off. Trust. So many little goblin holes. Oh, I'm so jealous.
Not the bed sores.
Not the bed sores. No, I don't want those.
I'm ready, Trev.
Oh, okay. I have a little game. It's called Abnormals Present Shirts, Pants, Both, or Neither. For any of you who don't know, Abnormals is my own personal predilection, where I have a weird fascination with the cartoon animals from the 90s, where it's animals but with abs.
They're like ripped animals.
Yeah.
Cartoons.
Sexy animals.
So this will be about animals from the TV show Street Sharks.
Whoa.
Right. And I have tastefully censored the photos. And my brothers will have to guess if that character is wearing shirt, pants, both, or neither.
We're so bad at this game, y'all.
It's really hard. Harder than it should be, honestly.
Okay, let's pull up that first image, Paul.
Traffic. Okay, so this is clearly Street Sharks.
Yes.
Clearly.
And this is Shrimp Louie.
Shrimp Louie?
Shrimp Louie is a mutated shrimp and one of Dr. Luther Paradigm's later Seviots. He's not very strong, he's quite the coward, and his primary weapons are big blaster guns.
Why didn't the sewer sharks kill this guy day one?
Yeah.
Pity?
I guess, yeah.
They are sharks, though. They should. There's some natural instinct that should have killed
him. It does look like this one is about to kill him.
Okay. That's true. It looks like he's actively being struck by a motorcycle.
Here's what I think. Belt, bandolier, nothing else.
Whoa, holy shit. I guess it works for Chewy, man.
Yeah, man.
I think that this is some of your worst question mark doing today.
What is the small sliver that you have left visible?
That's one of his arms, bud.
Okay.
You're not good at that. That's not a skill you have.
I'm not a designer by trade. I'm a comedian, an artist.
Justin is effectively saying neither with his belt and bandolier guess. I feel like this shrimp, he's wearing long, extremely playful gloves. I'm going to say both. Pants and shirt.
Okay, to be clear, I'm saying shirt. I just think it'll be...
A bandolier is a shirt.
Thin, with a belt, I said. Like, it's upper gear. Maybe it's a vest.
How is a bandolier a shirt, but a belt isn't pants?
All I have to say is shirt. I'm not going to get DQ'd because you counted it as neither. I don't think it's naked. I think it would count as a shirt.
We always say this, Juice. We always fucking get at each other's throats.
I know.
That's really what he wants. We never get it right because the animals are always so much more naked than we think they're going to be.
Okay, let's reveal. Show me Shrimp Louie.
I mean...
Now, what I love about this character design, Justin was right.
Do I get 2 points?
You get 1 point.
Okay, that's fair, yeah.
But he's got the bandolier, so I'm going to strap on. But it seems to strap under his exoskeleton.
That's cool.
Yeah, it does kind of end at his shell, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What is he demonstrating?
And this is how I cower.
Here's how I make love.
And what's the middle hand for? I don't know.
Now, can I make an argument that the exoskeleton of this shrimp creature does count as a shirt and pants?
Absolutely not.
Okay,
no,
fine.
It goes into his raised eyebrows.
Okay, that's totally fair.
That extend off of his face.
Just had to be sure.
Okay, next image, Paul.
Shit, man. Are these all street sharks?
All street sharks. This is Slobster.
Okay. If Slobster is not wearing pants, they're doing an Austin Powers thing where the bike is hiding his wiener.
Slobster is one of Dr. Paradigm's earlier experiments, along with Slash. He was created by injecting lobster.
Okay.
With the DNA of villainous figures like Genghis Khan and Colonel Thomas Blood.
Give me those two names again.
Genghis Khan and Colonel Thomas Blood.
Okay.
I don't know that one. Becoming an anthropomorphic lobster that salivates constantly.
All right.
Slobster.
Even better.
Slobster, can I describe his facial expression as, just go around already? Yeah, I know. Just go around.
You're being incredibly graceful to Slobster with that. Can we get a close-up on Slobster's face, Paul? Just like an extreme Slobster close-up? If he's not wearing pants, this cartoon should never have been on the air.
And let me just tell you, folks, if your friend looks like this after a party, don't let him drive
home. No fucking way, man.
They're not safe to drive.
I'm going pants, no shirt, pants, no shirt.
I'm going, man, I also think it's pants, no shirt. I'm also fully clothed. But the sewer sharks are so nude, guys. Like...
The sewer sharks are also, it appears, laughing at him derisively.
Yeah, they're having the time of their lives.
Could he not find a bigger motorcycle and that's really funny to them?
Okay, you know what? He's not wearing a shirt. He's fully nude. This is a fully nude lobster man. Fully nude lobster.
Okay, let's reveal Paul. Fully nude.
Yes! Hold on. Sorry, let me amend that. Yes, and also, no.
No, Slobster, no.
Slobster, no, man.
Okay, next to Paul.
Travis, I don't know what I'm looking at, my man.
Give me at least an orientation here.
That's Clamando.
That's Clamanda.
Wait, why does he have clothes inside of the shell?
He extends up beyond the shell, Griffin. I don't know what to tell you.
God, I hate this one the worst.
This one sucks to think about.
In an episode called Shark to the Future, brilliant. An alternative future where Dr. Luther Paradine has taken over the world featured Clamando as one of the mutated creatures on Dr. Paradine's side. His origin was later revealed. As a human, he was a dock worker.
This thing used to be a human?
Who worked for Malcolm Medusa III. One day, he slipped from the dock and fell into the sea where someone had dumped barrels of toxic waste. Why they were dumped right next to a dock or how no one knew about that is never explained.
All right, here's where I'm at.
Wait, hold on.
Okay.
This dumping of toxic waste had a large grouping of oysters surrounding him. The waste fused the man's and the oyster's DNA together, turning him into the human oyster hybrid.
This show's terrifying, man.
It's so scary. You're telling me that can happen?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Look, the guy next to him is like, this was my son.
I have been looking at this the entire time it's been up, just trying to figure out what could be below the shell.
What's the parts of the guy?
What's below the shell?
Yeah.
Because I think about oyster.
Yeah.
It's not usually anything down there.
Well, he's also part man.
Yeah, that's what scares me the most, Trav.
Okay. Definitely, please, Christ, I've been so good lately. Let there be pants on this.
I would, from what I'm seeing here, I don't even know if you could say conclusively about pants unless they're like hiked way up.
Yeah, yeah.
This could be like,
which
low
is the
rise.
Cool look now. I don't know if people know that.
And it started with Clamando.
Yeah, yeah.
Clamando started that trend, high waisted pants.
I will say pants, no shirt.
Shirt, no pants.
Reveal.
Yes!
Well, hold on.
Oh, that's pants and shirt, pal.
Establish a precedent with Bandolier, didn't we?
Damn it.
Okay, now hold on. Let's think through this. The shell is the band. If that's a bandolier, it's not going all the way around his body.
It's a cool necklace.
It's just sitting
in
the shell.
I also would bet just he can't reach it.
Yeah.
But there's no way.
So is that his body? Wow, I don't like looking at this one anymore than
a lot.
I need to.
Do you think that other guy is like, listen, if you're going to party with the street sharks, you're going to have to lose some of those clothes, muchacho.
How about just half a shell? What do you say?
Is the shell part of it? Or okay, let's see that next one, Paul.
God, there's so many.
Okay. This one's adorable.
This one's El Sordo.
No, Travis.
It is.
Travis, what's his real name?
El Sordo was a circus performer who worked with a large marlin named Spike. You know how circus performers do.
Worked with a large marlin named Spike.
In Satellite Sharks, Spike was abducted and used by Dr. Paradine, and his trainer sought them out in the desert. The two were eventually fused, it says in quotes, together, resulting in a combination of memories. But he is dominantly the human in action and personality. El Sordo helps the street sharks and Manta Man fight the Mecco sharks.
Fuck yeah!
El Sordo remains active in entertainment, having been on a naval ship in one episode where he was exercising his skills with double swords by slicing fruit in half while they're in midair.
Okay. How embarrassing for El Sordo that's what his career turned into. Hey, what's up? Thanks for your service. Just start hucking fruits up here. I'm going to show you. You guys are going to flip shit.
I guess all you could say, I'm the real fruit ninja. Okay, let's go.
Let's go.
Your kids are going to love it.
Shirt, no pants. No. El Sordo is speaking to me, and he's saying, shirt, no pants.
He's saying, kill me, please.
Listen.
Euthanasia me, please. Drown me in vodka.
I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose the audience, but here's what I'm going to say right now.
Yeah.
I think we'd all be better off if Dr. Paradine was killed. It seems like Dr. Paradine has gotten away with a lot of crimes against us and sharks.
In a later episode, spoiler, his DNA is fused with the piranhas. So he does get a little taste of his own medicine.
Becomes a super piranha dude?
Well, he doesn't change as much as El Sordo.
Okay.
No, Travis was being literal. He takes his special piranha medicine. He tastes it and he's like, oh, interesting.
What did you guess about this?
Oh, shirt, no pants all day.
Okay. Oh, this is pants, no shirt.
Reveal.
I'm positive.
Shirt. Fuck. Damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they really spent a long time illustrating his bathing suit area.
Yeah, they really shaded the hell out of it, didn't they?
They really worked hard at it. Harder than at the teeth.
He doesn't have a shadow from his body, but he's got a shadow on his balls.
That's cool.
Okay, we got one last one here.
Okay.
What, Travis, is that?
Well, that's Killamari. Killamari is the third of Dr. Luther Paradine's evil Seviots, created from a squid that was captured off the Great Barrier Reef in Australia. Slash and Killamari despise each other, mostly because Slash made a snide remark about Killamari's initial inability to talk and that Killamari is much more intelligent than Slash. Killamari has the ability to project natural spears or harpoons from his mouth.
Fucking, I'm Team Killamari all. You're telling me I'm supposed to be rooting for the sharks?
These projectiles drip with an extremely potent venom.
Hell yeah, they do.
I love that.
Now, in his debut episode titled Lone Shark, he almost killed Jab, but Lena and Benz concocted an anti-venom which has since reduced his threat.
Whatever.
Bullshit.
Nobody can resist his incredible toxin. I'm going to say Killamari is a big threat. You can't have a big, believable threat when they're completely nude. I'm going to say pants and shirt on Killamari.
I'm sorry, Juice. Killamari's looking at my soul right now with those deeply offset eyes, and he's telling me, Griffin, there's nothing under here. My nudity is part of my power. Don't take this from me.
I'm unashamed of what God and Dr. Paradine gave me.
Neither. This is a nude squid, and I love him so much.
Let's reveal Paul. Barely pants.
Barely pants. All right.
Also, I don't know what's happening in the abdominal area.
Who won?
No one. Farewell for now.
Bye.
Adieu. Hi, everybody. It's me, Travis McElroy, your middleest brother, and I'm here to
Travis,
tell you...
Travis, how did you get into my office?
Oh, Justin, I've always been in your office.
Okay.
Me too. I live in I live in this little bookshelf. I read all the Animorphs books you got every day.
Hey, Justin, can we go back to you asking me how I got in your office, and I'll tie it in?
How did you get in my office?
I flat Stanley'd myself and mailed myself here with stamps.
Stamps.com?
That's right, Justin. I had a big bulletin board fall over on me, flatten myself out.
Yeah.
And then I went to stamps.com, printed out postage, slapped her out of my forehead because I forgot to buy envelopes.
And I tried to blow him back up with a pump, which I know you're thinking, just blow him back up with a pump. I tried that. He was screaming like it hurt so much.
Well, it just inflated one leg a lot.
Yeah.
Is the problem. Yeah. It just all went to one leg.
You know, the holidays are such a big hassle, but you can get ahead of it right now.
Okay.
And free up.
We were on this
time.
Whole Flat Stanley thing, but no, do your holiday bit.
No, the ad is coming to an end. I can feel it in my bones.
Okay. Wow, it really feels like we just started. Are you sure?
I know. The adventure is just beginning, and commercialism rears its ugly head again.
Oh, man.
Sign it with stamps.com and enter code MYBROTHER for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com code my brother.
Now, like, if you wanted to ship your brother a book on improv and like how to do it or whatever, okay. You could use stamps.com.
I thought about it, and you guys can keep doing your skit in the next ad if you want.
Well, it's funny, all this talk about Flat Stanley, because I was going over my finances the other day with Rocket Money, just going over some of the subscriptions that I may have forgotten about. And I had one for a subscription.
Wait, you're managing them? More like Guinances.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Little Guinances.
Yeah. But anyway, I was so, like, I was...
Justin, that was in the improv community, what we call, instead of yes and that's, or my thing.
Or but.
Anyway, I was looking at my my Guinances.
Is this part of it? Is this part
of it? Yeah, so I was looking at my fucking finances, and you know what I saw on my subscriptions list I forgot about was Thick Stanley. This is a special website for bigger...
For discerning gentlemen.
For discerning gentlemen.
For taste.
Who needs a Stanley with a little bit of meat on his belly?
A more refined sensibility. Who likes a thick Stanley?
So I didn't get rid of that one with Rocket Money, but I did get rid of a lot of other ones with Rocket Money.
He actually double subscribed to it.
I became a triple
diamond. He wanted
diamond.
It on all his devices.
I got a triple diamond membership and 2 promo invite codes for Thick Stanley.
He got into the stance.
But I can help you get set up with Rocket Money for free, absolutely. It's a personal finance app that helps you find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending and helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Genuinely, actually just did this 3 days days ago and found no fewer than 3 different kids' edutainment apps that I had subscribed to and forgotten about.
I actually got a large transaction warning that I had forgotten about, so that from Rocket Money. So that was nice, a good reminder.
I get updates weekly to say how my spending that week compared to my spending the week before, which is incredibly helpful.
I actually like that Rocket Money helps you guys the way that it helps me. I thought we had a special, but then again, Rocket Money has over 5 million users.
Oh, it's the end of the ad.
Wow, I was in the middle of that.
I know. I'm sorry, Griffin, but
it's in yellow, Justin. We have
to say it. I'm sorry, guys. Yeah, got to go to the yellow.
But Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
Why wouldn't
Justin?
You want people to know that?
Well, I'm trying to keep the secret to just us.
Oh, I got you.
Anyway, cancel your unwanted subscriptions, not Fix Stanley, but the other ones by going to rocketmoney.com/mybrother. That's rocketmoney.com/mybrother. One last time, rocketmoney.com/mybrother.
I'm Emily Fleming.
I'm Jordan Morris.
And I'm Matt Lieb.
We are real comedy writers.
Real friends.
And real cheapskates.
On every episode of our podcast, Free With Ads, we ask, why pay for expensive streaming services when you can get free movies from apps with weird names?
Each week, we review the freest movies the internet has to offer. Classics like Pride and Prejudice.
Cult classics like Point Break.
And holy sh**, what did I just watch? Classics like Teen Witch.
Tune in every week as we take a deep dive into the internet's bargain bin.
Every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org or your favorite pod place.
The Flophouse is a podcast where we watch a bad movie and then we talk about it.
Robert Shaw in Jaws, and they're trying to figure out how to get rid of the ghoulies, and he scratches his nails and goes, I'll get you, ghoulie.
He's just standing above the toilet with a harpoon. No, I'm just looking forward to you going through the other ways in which Wild Wild West is historically inaccurate.
You know how much movies cost nowadays when you add in your popped corn and your bagel bites and your cheese fritters?
You can't go wrong with a Henry Cavill mustache. Here at Henry Cavill Mustaches, the only supplier.
The Flophouse. New episodes every Saturday. Find it at MaximumFun.org.
There's still not a great way to come back from using the toilet in front of a bunch of people and feel, like, great about it. It's not like,
I'm pretty proud.
It's not like we're the Rolling Stones coming out for an encore. We pretty much told you we have to go use the toilet.
I went back there, Griffin. I pissed like nobody's watching, man.
Excellent.
I really let it go. I feel
hope
great.
Nobody's watching you use the toilet, Travis.
That's the only way I do it. You never like the biz like somebody's watching?
Nope, never.
Like Jesus?
Come on now. Breaking news. It's a haunted doll watch. Now, Paul, please do not reveal the image of the doll until I call for it, okay? Let's meet our first contestant. It's Milvia.
That's not a name!
I'm going to set up for you Milvia, okay? And I'm going to paint a word picture. I want you to follow along in your head, okay?
Okay.
Milvia, a highly powerful spirit, possesses the essence of a blood witch. Wielding formidable magic rooted in the ancient arts of blood sorcery, her presence resonates with primal energy and deep mysticism, reflecting her profound connection to the forces of nature and the unseen realms.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
As a blood witch, Milvia harnesses the potent energies of blood to fuel her spells and rituals, drawing upon the life force within to manifest her intentions with extraordinary precision and potency. Her magic is ancient and primal, tapping into the primal forces of creation and transformation.
I feel like we focus mostly on how Milvia is a witch and not that Milvia is also a ghost.
Yeah. Yeah. And can I also say how I love so much of that description could have ended, every sentence could have ended with, or whatever.
All right, let's see Milvia.
That's not what I...
So, okay. I think you may have overpromised a little bit.
That is an off-the-rack monster high action figure.
That is, for the first time in haunted doll history, a toy has been listed that I would have to spend so much time actively stopping my children from playing with.
Yeah, yeah.
No, honey, there's a spirit in there.
It's
a vessel.
And her power extends beyond conventional witchcraft, delving into the realms of the occult and the esoteric. She's a master of divination. No, they're not overpromising. Listen.
This doll for $22 is a master of divination, possessing
the
ability
guitar involved
to peer into the depths of the unknown and unveil hidden truths and secrets. Milvia's energy is indeed fierce and unwavering, fueled by her deep commitment to protecting her keeper from harm. As a powerful spirit of a blood witch, she possesses an innate sense of loyalty and guardianship. She has been promoted to Avenger at this point. No mere doll.
I'm just going to say, I'm not familiar with blood witch mythology. But if they're protectors and guardians, gotta rebrand.
Gotta get a new name, y'all.
Guys, you gotta rebrand.
I'm just happy to see a doll on this list where the listing is not like, this haunted doll is going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
Gonna ruin your life and make all your shit float around. Your dog's gonna start acting mad weird and you're not gonna know why.
Oh.
This is a little.
But don't get it twisted. She's 9 inches tall.
With the hat.
Don't let it be confusing. She's 9 inches tall. Next.
Well.
Okay. From the same seller.
From the seller that brought
From the seller that brought you Milvia, meet Esme. This one's maybe the scariest of all. This just goes right into it. I've communicated with her using various forms of divination and giving her a reading. Esme is a baby witch. She was 18 years old when she passed away.
Wait.
She was born into a pagan family, and though she's not given me a year, my reading suggests 17th century. And she was summoned to this vessel by witchcraft. Esme has been bound of her own free will. Well...
Huh.
Okay. You can.
Well, some people are into that.
Heard.
You can spin off a bunch of occult bullshit here in the description of this. I'm still kind of stuck on 18-year-old baby witch.
Esme specializes.
I'm a baby witch. You're 18
You're
years
18.
Old. Get a job,
Take
Esme.
Some responsibility.
She likes to recharge her energy in moonlight, surrounded by crystals.
Well, yeah.
Her spirit activating the crystals around her, enhancing their powers, and imbuing them with protective and healing properties. She's a great assistant if you practice crystal witchcraft. Can we see her, Paul?
No. No.
Now, this one is 8 inches tall, and it is the mom from the Berenstain Bears. An unmodded, factory condition mom from the Berenstain Bears.
Fresh off the factory line.
Can I tell you what's wild? I didn't remember the mom from Berenstain Bears being a baby witch when I was a kid.
She is saying,
stop showing us the butts of the dolls, eBay and Paul.
And this is where the ghost got in.
She is safe in homes with children and pets. I'm not sure she'd be safe in a home with pets.
No,
honestly.
I don't think so either. That's a chew toy.
That's cool a chew toy
can,
right there.
Pretty cool she could take selfies, though.
She likes Esme.
Oh, when Bay catches you.
Yeah. Esme likes offerings of lavender and the honey, eh, boo-boo? These also strengthen her power and bond her with her keeper. She does not take well to dark energies or loud noises. We're an environment that
or
lacks...
Or whiny kids.
Where do you keep your Berenstain Bear mom toy? Outside, where she likes it.
Yeah.
And her name is Esme, thank you.
Thank you so much.
She's a crystal witch. Last contestant.
Are they competing for our...
I know who has my vote so far.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's hold off on that image for just a second, Paul, because it's very important. This captivating... Yeah, you just got to show him, Paul.
No.
They're starting to play hardball with the people that collect witch stuff. They're starting to come for them where they live with pictures of cats playing with each other.
But cats levitating.
But
this captivating frame limited edition print by renowned artist Susan Van Camp, measuring 12 inches by 10 inches, depicts two majestic cats. It says it depicts two majestic cats gazing out at the viewer, which is demonstrably untrue.
Wait, which one
is it, though? Because that's two different pictures.
Yeah, that's confusing, isn't it, Griffin? Because one is definitely a picture and one is a painting.
And I think the picture's AI, it's gotta be. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, research into Susan Van Camp's work revealed a recurring theme of feline guardians and angels. Intriguingly, the print itself, number 49 out of 500,
ooh,
hints at a sense of duality.
How?
Because there's two of them?
Okay.
I think, right?
Because there's
two?
There's a flash in there.
Well, there's two cats, and so there's a sense of duality.
Okay, does it have wings in that one?
It has wings!
We believe this frame print has become a vessel for the spirits of two feline angels, Luna and Jasper.
Now, hold on.
That's
demonstrably right. One of them is an angel.
They graduated from cats to picture of cats. All dolls go to heaven, all cats go to pictures of cats. Luna and Jasper.
Hey, man, sorry I died. Just wanted to come say bye one last time.
Luna and Jasper.
You got any of that good string, brother?
They embody different... The Luna and Jasper are a complementary pair embodying different aspects of feline guardianship.
Cool.
So it's kind of the two different sides of that. New owners of this frame print might experience feelings of calm and security. I'm feeling calm just thinking about owning it.
Haunted or no, I feel calm and secure looking at this image.
I'm also going to say, I'm not an art curator. A lot of matting on that picture. That's like 90% matte.
In closing, it says, this framed limited edition cat print is more than a beautiful piece of art. It's a conduit for the loving energy of two feline angels. So those are your haunted items for this week.
Thank you so much, Haunted Doll Watch.
Oh, my God.
Okay. We are going to call some folks down to the microphone here. We've asked you for your questions in advance, and we have chosen the ones we like so much. So if we call you down, approach the microphone if you want to tell us your name, your pronouns, if you'd like, and what your question is, and we will answer it live. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Pretty kick-ass. Yeah, no complaints.
What'd you have for dinner? No, we don't have to keep up the chit-chat. It's fine.
What is your name? Hello.
My name's Kate.
Hi, Kate.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
So polite, Kate. Did you have a question we could help you with, Kate?
Yes, I did. So I work for one of the largest environmental organizations in the world, but I don't like to go outside.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So I need some advice on how to bond with my coworkers who are very outdoorsy people, and bird watching doesn't work because I hate birds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Say no more.
Is it possible they're outdoorsy people because they don't know TV exists?
Have you told them about TV?
I've tried. We are trying to fight climate change, though, so maybe they don't want the electricity.
TV
going
doesn't
up,
do anything
so.
About
no,
climate.
TV's no, TV's fine.
TV's fine. All the climate
You're thinking
change.
Thinking about fossil fuels.
Yeah, that's it.
TV don't run on fossil fuels.
No.
TV runs on young Sheldon.
I know this gets confusing. TV have Young Sheldon and Amazing Race.
Right.
It doesn't do anything to the environment. TV is great and neutral, and we're all pretty much in agreement on that.
Yeah.
Have you tried canoes?
Canoes are usually outside, though.
Yeah, I know. I'm just looking for outside stuff you might like.
No, sorry. We are going to suggest some outside stuff.
Yeah.
But please, take to heart, if we suggest outside stuff, you should probably take that with a tremendous amount of weight and power, because we are also not huge outside fans. So anything we find out there that is the least bit worthwhile, if we bring it to your doorstep, I guarantee you that's got the seal of approval right there.
Now, Kate, it's made me think. When you say you don't like outside, to what degree? Because you had to go outside at least to get here.
Yes.
Right? So you don't like it because it's strenuous?
You just don't like to be in nature, right?
I don't like bugs, for one.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I also don't like the sun. As you can tell, I'm very pale and Irish, so it's not good for me.
Then, I mean, you should have some carve-outs in your contract with this organization. You say, I'm here to help the environment and global warming, I guess. Not a huge sun fan, which I guess we're fighting the sun, so kick ass.
And if all bugs kind of beef it,
if we could fight against bugs, is that okay?
How many of them do we need?
We need a lot of them. There's so
really?
Many. You'd be shocked.
Yeah.
Like there's 10.
Scientists say that there's millions and millions of bugs all over the earth.
Travis,
that's millions with an M, pal.
2 million bugs, Travis.
That can't be true.
There could be 3 to 4 bugs on you right now. Sorry.
So why'd you get this job?
For the money.
Where the money
is. Nonprofits make a lot of money.
Yeah, that's where the cash is.
No, for real. You have why? What is it about this job? What is it that attracted you to this position?
So I live near D.C., of course. So I work on the policy side of things, which is more indoor environmentalism.
Right.
But my colleagues, a lot of them work in the field, so I have a hard time bonding with them.
Right. I understand that.
After you have saved outdoors, they're going to be happy that you're not hogging it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? After the work is done and outdoors is safe for good, they'll be out there ultimate frisbeeing or what have you, and they'll be like, it's actually getting a little crowded. If you go back indoors now, yeah, that would be great for us.
You know what outdoorsy people who do like extreme stuff and like rock climbing and everything, you know what they really like? Telling people about being outdoors and doing rock climbing stuff and everything. So you can just be receptive to that, and you can't one-up it. Yeah, it's not like I climbed a rock, and you're like, I climbed some stairs.
Well, you can one-up it, because when they tell you about all their cool outdoor stuff, you say, huh, well, they say take only memories, leave only footprints. I'm not even doing that. I have no impact on nature.
I have left the memories for you to scoop them up. The memories are still up there.
Bring me back some memories.
And
where there is no footprints in the sand, that was me at home watching Young Sheldon.
Does that help?
Yeah, I'll just one up them, tell them I'm a better environmentalist.
Absolutely, because you don't mess with it. Fantastic.
There you go. Fantastic.
Thank you. So much,
thank you. Thank you, Young Sheldon, too, if he made
thank
it.
Thank you, if you're
He's
here.
He's always on the list.
Thank you, Bazinga. Let's do it. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Bonnie D.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
I have 12,000 Orbeez sitting in my classroom that I don't know what to do with.
You sound like the villain in a kid's version of Speed. I have 12,000 Orbeez set to deploy in the New York City water system.
Hey there, hotshot.
You have 12...
If you don't skibbity your Ohio right now, I'm going to get these Orbeez. Did I use any of those right?
I don't think so. What? Okay, you have 12,000 Orbeez. Because of a class activity that left you with a bunch of orphaned Orbeez?
If you don't know about Orbeez, by the way, they're tiny hard spheres that when they get wet are even worse.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, basically?
Therein lies the problem.
Yeah.
They were bought for a school-wide dance we had because for some reason I decided I would take on centerpieces.
Okay.
Wow. And I've never used Orbeez before.
Right.
So I bought like a pouch, you know, this big.
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody on staff said, go ahead, put them all in one of these big, like, 6-quart tubs and fill it with water, and they'll absorb right up.
Yeah.
So they did, and I started making the centerpieces. And then I'd come in the next day, and they were all over the floor. So I'd take some out and refill them to make it invisible. And then I'd
We've all learned that lesson
do it again.
At some point. Orbeez gets
and I'd
so
come
big.
In, and
Orbeez
they're all over the floor. Mind you, I have outlets in the floor because I teach children's engineering. Like, everything's plugged in.
So not great.
I can't have water on the floor.
Yeah. Or wet balls.
Yeah, right.
I've never used Orbeez before.
Out of them because they want to go in them all.
Okay, yes, not ideal.
I've never used Orbeez before. Do they keep getting bigger over time?
Yeah, and more fragile.
They say they don't, but they do. They keep growing.
Do they dry out?
Therein lies the problem.
Oh, go on.
This is why I need help.
You've said that more than once in your description of
it. It's like a nesting doll of problems.
Yeah, there's like many problems.
Each problem is inside the next problem.
Bonnie, I think the problem is you have 12,000 Orbeez.
Yeah, we understand the problem. It's the gravity of the problem.
I'm too anxious to put them in a trash can for the custodians to have to carry away.
Yeah.
Right. Because what if they throw it in a wet dumpster and it destroys the school?
What if the bag breaks and there's Orbeez everywhere? Then the
and it's raining.
Eat them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I tried the thing where I left them on the counter for a few days. They were filled on May 27th, and my librarian texted me that they're still in my classroom full. They haven't gone anywhere.
Yeah, no. I mean, you're gonna.
So they're not drying out.
I tried drying them out in the classroom, but the kids kept punching the foil I'd put on top to go in them.
I think this would.
So I put them outside.
I think this checks one of the boxes for, like, the sainthood test.
Yeah.
Like, I think that I don't know what other miracles you may or may not have performed in your life. Also, I think that sainthood is only rewarded posthumously, so it's maybe a bit of a bummer to talk about. But remember this, that you made infinite Orbeez one time.
When you're buried alive in Orbeez.
I mean, at this point.
Now, Bonnie, I've come up with just a foolproof solution of how you cannot have to worry about these Orbeez anymore. But before I tell you, I do have to ask you, how much do you like your job?
Yeah, I kind of enjoy that.
You kind of enjoy
okay.
your job.
Okay, well, then you shouldn't just quit and leave the Orbeez there for someone else to deal with. Okay, cool.
Did that, which is why I got the text, because I left them outside to dry in the sun.
Yeah.
The last week of school, and then kind of forgot I put them outside.
Man. And then birds
worked,
ate.
But then it rained and they reabsorbed.
Son of a gun.
Damn it. Have we considered the possibility that Pennywise's big problem is that he doesn't have no Orbeez?
Yeah.
And maybe, just maybe, if some kind-hearted soul dumped 12,000 of those motherfuckers right down there with Pennywise, he would either A, be killed. That's excellent.
Hey, man, it's me, Pennywise. What the fuck, dude? Like, I know. I get it. I'm Pennywise. I'm kind of a piece of shit. Yeah. But this is a bridge too far.
My house is so wet, you guys.
Not cool, bro.
Not so cool
I guess
at
what
all.
I guess what we're saying is use them to kill Pennywise.
Pennywise. Does that help?
Yeah.
It helps us.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Beautiful
Orbeez. Behold Orbeez.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. My name is Ariana. My pronouns are she, her.
Hi, Ariana.
And my question is, how do I sneak a squatty potty into the bathroom at my work?
You may not be able to appreciate this just based on where you are in the room, but I distinctly heard one person over here say, yes.
I heard it too. Yes.
That's
awesome. Can you just raise your hand real quick? We're not going to call you out or anything.
Yeah. No, that's fucking great.
Okay, yeah, that's cool.
Amazing.
Thank you. How many people work at where you work?
Like 8 or 9.
Okay. Oh, not
damn,
enough.
That's the perfect number to really flummox us, I feel like.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Because if it was like hundreds of people, anyone could have brought that squatty potty in.
Are you able to get in the office super duper early before anyone else gets in there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not a very funny answer, though, is it?
Wait, what if you went in and, okay, go in, put the squatty potty in, leave a note on it that says, from home base, you all are doing a great job.
Yeah.
Keep it up.
Special.
And keep this in place. Yeah. Of course.
We'll be checking.
Don't ask any questions. There's another note underneath the person, okay? Yeah. Don't ask any questions about it, and don't touch it, and don't be weird about it.
I mean, if you wanted it to be believable, you would leave a note that said, hey, this is home base. Y'all have been taking way too long in here. This little footstool, believe it or not, is really going to help you blast off.
Yeah, you could prepare a PowerPoint for your boss, like, I'm gonna fucking crush efficiency, and here's my one-step plan. Boop, squatty potties, let's go. Just save you $30 per annum.
Now, what if you brought the squatty potty in?
Does everyone know what a squatty potty is? Because otherwise we sound like toddlers.
Hold on a second, I'm sure Paul's looking for a picture. Okay.
Thank you so much, Paul. It's a little footstool. It helps you unkink your rectals.
This is how God wants you to shit.
Yeah.
He wants you to squat and poop. That's what the Marshall says. So this is how your
body... And Marshalls can't lie.
Marshalls can't lie.
They're on the TV
Why would they sell it if it didn't work?
Yes, yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Is it possible that you could sneak the squatty potty in piece by piece?
Oh, shit.
That's actually what I was thinking.
And I know it's all one big piece of plastic, but you're going to cut it up a little bit and then hot glue it back together. And eventually, it will just always have been there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my current working plan, if I can't think of anything different.
That's a bad idea. It will be instantly cleaned up right away. It makes it the most noticeable way of doing it. There's going to be stories in the newspaper about it. Please don't do it like that.
That's how Andy Dufresne would do it, and it's not how a person should do it at the place that they work at.
I can promise that it would not get immediately cleaned up, though.
Can you?
Wait, what do you mean?
If you work in a dirty, filthy shithole?
If I were to start building a squatty potty in the bathroom piece by piece, people would leave it.
Okay.
Nobody would clean it up.
So why are you worried about bringing one in? Oh, sounds like nobody gives a shit, if you will.
I mean, I get it. Once you've done it once, it's like, yeah, that's right. Shoot, I've been doing it wrong this whole time. Dang it.
Well, it does. How many... Okay, I'm going to ask, how many in the room where you'll be putting it, is there just one commode?
Yes.
Okay, thank goodness. Because if there were two and you just brought one in, people would always know which one you use. They're already going to get that a little bit, right? They're going to know that that's your star player. They're going to know that it's essential enough member of your team that you want armored like all your guys, your troops.
If there were two and you only brought one... And then you get in there, and somebody's in that stall. And you'd have to be like, hey, could you pass that over?
That's actually mine.
I brought it from home. If you could scoot it under
mine.
The wall,
I don't
want to
make
great.
This weird, but scoot it over.
It has my name on it. So if
how much like stock and power do you have in this organization?
Not very much.
Oh, shoot.
How much do you like your job?
Not not very much.
Bring it in.
Bring it in. Yeah, actually, that's great.
Does that help?
Oh, yes. Bring it in and then take it with you when you quit.
Oh, of course.
They're going to be so like, oh no, oh,
we were all used to it.
Or when you leave every day. Yeah. You punch the clock and then wave to everybody like, hey, hi. And you got it right.
You have a chain it.
Yeah, you have a bike lock. You put it on it every night.
Or just never speak again at your job. Only communicate through intense glances while hugging your squatty potty like the fucking log lady for the rest of your career there.
Okay, perfect. Now right. All that helps.
That good.
If you carry it with you all the time, no one needs to know it's for the toilet.
Now it's just for you.
My emotional support, squatty.
Squatty body, for sure. Does that help?
Yes.
Great. Awesome. Thank you so much. Hello.
Hello.
That's a great shirt.
Thanks. So my pronouns are he, him. And my question was...
Wait, what's your name? Sorry.
It's part of the question.
Yes. Oh yeah.
So how do I react when people comment on that my name is Kevin Klein?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Holy shit. Hey. Did you guys have any idea that Kevin Klein was a fan of My Brother, and Me?
How much harder has it been considering the fact that you kind of sound a little bit like Kevin Klein? Because that's got to make things a lot more
challenging.
Have
you been working on that?
Perfecting your Kevin?
So I've only ever seen two things he's been in, which are Bob's Burgers.
Right.
And Rotel Dorado. I've never seen A Fish Named Wanda or... anything like
that. Fucking in and out. There's a lot of pretty good nope. Kevin Klein flicks.
No, Dave. Fucking Dave. Man.
Fucking Dave. Yeah, he's hot.
My boy Kate Klein is in Mad Pictures.
Have you,
Wild Wild West?
Nope.
Talking about Kevin fucking Klein over here.
Have you intentionally avoided the Kevin Klein au revoir?
A little bit.
Really? Yeah, little bit. So you steer clear of his pictures.
Here's what I'll say. About your parents naming you Kevin Klein, is that when it comes time to name a child, there's a lot of thought and work that goes into it because you don't know what it's going to be like, what their life is going to be like.
Right.
But at this point, with the last name Klein, you know Kevin works.
Right.
Kevin Klein has been very successful up until your
what
birth.
What year were you born in, if you don't mind me asking?
93.
Oh, yeah. Peak fucking Kevin Klein. Yeah, for sure.
Paul, what kind of year is Kevin Klein having in 93? Because I feel like he's aces.
I feel like he's on fire. Smoking. I
mean, bucket smoking after bucket hot. After bucket.
Yeah. I'm January man.
Yeah, that's just more sexy pictures of Kevin
Look
Klein.
Look at him. That man. Is Dave 93?
He's on KevinKlein.com.
God, you pulled a slideshow. Wait, you just showed us that those were already on your computer before.
This is what I'm saying. He always saves. This is just on his hard drive. Do people ever want to talk to you more about Kevin Klein and some of their thoughts about Kevin Klein?
Dave was 93.
Come on.
You're
Holy
welcome.
Shit. Crushed it.
Wow.
It's usually more like a throwaway comment. Like, oh, like the actor? And it's like, yeah.
Oh, well, Kevin, let me go ahead and tell you, that's not that bad. You got to take those on the chin. There's way worse stuff people can say in response to your name, I bet.
I was almost named Calvin Klein.
Yeah, dog, that would have been way, way worse.
Way better for us, though. I mean, we can all agree that would have been... I mean, we could have had a lot of fun with that, with the underwear stuff and everything.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to change it to Calvin?
No, not at all.
What about Kelvin? And then when you tell people, my name's Kelvin Klein, and they're like, oh, like the design, and you say, no, like the temperature.
Does that help?
Yeah, I'll watch more movies.
Okay, yeah, you should. Sure. You've got a great... Thank you so much, Kevin.
Thank you.
I'll never forget you.
That's the most disappointed anyone's ever been to watch a Kevin Klein picture.
Oh, shit.
He's so charismatic. What
I gotta
start with Wild Wild West. Don't end with Wild Wild West.
Hello.
Hello. I'm Shannon. She, her.
Hi, Shannon.
Hello. Hi. I need you to choose my classroom theme for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was thinking either like frogs or I wanted to make it like a medieval castle.
Uh-huh.
But I polled my students at the end of the year and overwhelmingly Shrek was the choice.
Okay. See, I'm so excited about this because mainly what I want to know, like, what grade is this classroom?
Sixth grade English.
And they love Shrek that much?
Every year, yes. They still
every
love Shrek.
Every year?
The so much. Power. Every year they love Shrek.
It's been a decade since Shrek has haunted the theaters, and yet he's so large in our children's hearts.
Yeah, and in physical space. Hey, he's a big...
I got big news for you. Shrek's a frog. So, like, you've, in a sense, already won. He's a giant frog, man.
Wow.
And if they were like, what are you thinking for the frog prom... It was a prom, I think. Where are you thinking for the frog prom? You're like, if I'm going to have a giant man dressed like a frog, you'd be like, hell yes, that sounds awesome. Well, you're doing that anyway by having Shrek present. Oh, you're booking Shrek, right?
Hey, you mentioned a frog prom in your question, right?
Yeah, you were talking about frog prom and if you should hire Shrek to come to your frog prom,
Justin
right?
was only kind of listening, but you mentioned how do you get Shrek to
you
come to your frog prom,
you were saying you're designing
right?
a prom for sixth graders, and you took a poll, the sixth graders are like, yeah, we want fucking Shrek at our prom.
Our frog prom?
Yes, at our frog
exactly,
prom?
Exactly.
We got our Shrek there.
He's the most famous frog. Of course he's going to be
at a castle-shaped
prom.
Cake.
Yeah, the important thing is not how close I listen, it's how much fun everybody has. I don't know if you guys know this.
You are going to be looking at iconography of whatever you choose for, what, 9 calendar months
Correct.
Or so. I think Shrek would be more fun to see than a bunch of frogs or, I don't know, some parapets. I don't know what castle theme looks like.
Turrets. Now, what you could do is you could incorporate Shrek in such a way that you have several different... maybe representations of Shrek. And depending on their behavior the day before, maybe Shrek's disappointed in them next day. Or maybe Shrek's very proud of them the next day. Maybe Shrek's a little concerned the next day.
Hey, let me ask you. You wanted castles, right? And they got Shrek.
Yes, that's
Wait,
close.
But Shrek's a fantasy character. So do you just hate Shrek? Because you definitely could have done castles as part of Shrek.
It's harder to incorporate a castle in Frog Brom. I guess if you do... Like a frog prancing.
No frog prom. I don't know where you keep getting that.
You're right. I mean, to be fair, in the second one, in Shrek 2, his father-in-law is a frog prince.
Okay.
That's very true. I think.
Why do I know that?
I'm okay on Shrek. I don't hate Shrek.
You're okay?
Shrek. Yeah.
We actually did so
that
good.
He's not funny enough because he's very funny.
He's really fucking funny.
You got a thing against ogres? Because they're like onions.
We actually
they got layers.
He's a frog, not an ogre. I don't know what you're talking about. Also, we actually have forgotten up to this point, and we got to be better about this, boys. We actually make everyone who comes up to the microphone during the live Q&A portion of this show give a plea that they don't hate Shrek. And so I'm glad that you have reminded us.
It's like a loyalty test.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
A plea?
Yeah.
Just do
Shrek. No, I want to hear it now. Tell us your deepest thoughts on Shrek and convince us you don't hate him.
I want to hear the truth. Your truth, not the public face you put on. I want to know
when you're all alone at night, looking at yourself in the mirror,
like Shrek, and you're all alone. You meet Shrek. What are you thinking?
Would you rather be alone in the woods with a man or a Shrek?
Is it just? I mean, what do you think of Shrek? Oh, even man. Travis's joke is not going to distract me. What do you think of Shrek? Tell me all your thoughts on Shrek.
I saw Shrek in theaters in 2001.
That it's was legally
classic.
Mandated. That means
yeah.
The first and second ones are very good. I saw the second one in theaters as well.
Okay.
It's not my favorite movie of all time.
Okay, I'm not trying to Shrek keep here.
I don't hate Shrek.
Okay.
Please.
No, we know. You wouldn't be here if you hated
wow.
Shrek.
Yeah. We would know instantly, actually. We know. That's part of the test, is we always know right away.
There was security outside to check for that.
Yeah, that's what they were there for. Does that help?
No, it doesn't.
Wait, no. Griffin's right.
Do frogs and castles in the same. And then if they say, sorry, guys, they were out of Shrek stuff at the party supply store, so we have to pretend that this castle frog is a Shrek.
Tell us the best Shrek. Tell us the best Shrek you can draw. This happens to look exactly like a frog.
Say, maybe if you guys, it's a castle frog and not Shrek is the best we could do. Maybe if you guys had brought in more box tops for education last year, we could get real fucking Shrek.
Sell a few more chocolate bars.
Does that help?
Very much, yes.
Cool,
thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Hey, what's up?
Hey, brothers, this is Adam, and I like Shrek.
Great, thank you so much.
Wait, as a friend or like
no,
him?
No, come on.
So I have a lot of rocks and minerals. I'm a geologist, and I want to find... Yeah.
What just happened?
That happened.
A lot of stoners here. That's what they call it. It's what they call big fans of rocks.
So I want to find an inconspicuous way I can have my rocks or minerals out to show friends and get them to ask questions about them.
You want to talk about your rocks, but in a way where it doesn't seem like you're trying to force the conversation.
Yeah, and not small ones either. Like, I have bigger rocks.
Yeah.
Okay, we get it, Adam. You don't have to keep bragging about how big your rocks are.
How big and cool your rocks are.
Every time we hang out with this guy, I'm telling you, oh, look at my big rocks.
What's your current, like, how many rocks you got out, Adam? How many rocks you got out? If I walk in your living room and look around just, how many rocks am I clocking?
Maybe like 10 to 30.
That's a... Adam. 10 to 30?
It's not 10, is it, Adam? Adam, go ahead and tell me it's not 10, is it?
No.
Not 10. I didn't think it was 10.
It's like Russian nesting rocks.
Yeah, it's like 30 to 1,500. It's a,
don't help me
categorize by shape.
I live in a cone. It's fine.
Would it be weird for you to spill a box of rocks and be like, oh, no. They're so beautiful. Help me pick them up. I'll tell you about each one.
When someone comes over, have all the rocks out like on the couch and all the chairs and go, oh, let me move these.
Yeah.
And then as you move each one, say the name of it.
Yeah. That's cool. Oh, excuse
me. So embarrassing.
Me. Sorry. So embarrassing. I was solving a rocks mystery. Let me just put these away.
I'm something of a rocks detective. It's called a geologist.
Let me tell you all about it.
I was just about to name this one, actually. Perhaps Kimberly.
Kimberlite.
Kimberlite. Perhaps Kimberlite.
I tell you what would do it for me, Adam, is if I rolled up in your place and it was incredibly minimalist except for the one single rock that you had out for display.
How big, Griffin?
Any fucking size. If there's nothing else in the room except for one eye-catching rock, I'm going to need to know everything about that before we talk about anything else.
When someone comes visit your house for the first time, right, and you're showing them around, take them to the room, right, and say, this is my rock collection. And you open the door, and there's one rock in there.
Cool
and
rock.
They're like, I thought you said rock collection. You say, I'm just getting started.
Is this for your home or office?
Life. Really, anywhere.
I mean, if you're a geologist, the world's your office. It's all rocks.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Do you have any moon rocks?
No.
Damn it.
That's thinking, so disappointing, Adam.
It might be good, Adam, if you started a rock of the day. So you would have like, I heard a few people.
Wait, are there
right
neurodivergent people in here?
Okay. I heard a rock of the day, right? So it's like one circle and it says rock of the day and you put a different rock there every day and people could come back by and ask about that rock. That's good too because they're not going to catch you slipping.
Yeah.
They're not going to be like, tell me about this one. You're like, fuck. I don't know about that one. Damn it.
Yeah, you have its trading card pulled up and ready to go. I would like to hear, just by applause, out of curiosity, knowing that Adam is a geologist expert in rocks, who wants to talk about rocks, how many people in this room would like to hear like details about rocks?
Yeah! I mean, conditional applause if I don't have any other cool stuff I've got going on.
Yeah, I'm not getting down with a romantic partner, if you guys know what I mean.
Is there a guitar professor next door or something that you have to worry about? Or
oh, you like rock and roll? Well, let me show you some rocks that roll. You like getting your rocks off? Well, let's get our rocks
Jesus
on.
Jesus Christ. You will be excused from the premises. Adam, does that help?
Immensely.
Thank you so much, Adam. That also works.
There we go. All right, if you could shut the house lights off, making sure Adam's safely to...
I had one more, if I could do it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, you won't be fooled by the rocks that I got. I'm a geologist, right? And it's like a J-Lo.
I don't think that one is it. Thank you so much for joining us here. Thank you. Thank you for these beautiful trophies.
Yeah.
Thank you for making us feel like real winners. Thank you to the Capital One Hall for having us.
Thanks to everybody who made this tour possible, like Paul Sporn, Rachel, Amanda, and Jack.
And thank you so much to Kate May for this incredible tour poster.
Yes, thank you.
We signed a bunch of them out in the lobby. They might still be out there. I don't know. Y'all have been incredible. Seriously, fantastic. This is truly wild to do this here and do a sold out show. You all are remarkable.
So
thank
kind.
You all so
you.
Very, 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 very much.
Okay. So
thank you to Montaigne.
Yes.
For the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. It's a club banger every time. Hey.
I always get so tripped on that because I'm just so excited that I remembered it and Griffin didn't.
Yeah, I know.
That I get the first four words out and then my brain starts high-fiving itself
I know.
I forget to say the rest of the sentence.
We, at the end of our live shows, we like to lift a wish up to Fungalore. He doesn't need any help hearing them, but like it's symbolic. And yeah, so
and he appreciates it.
I'd like to read this one that someone sent in ahead of time and maybe you could lead the congregation in a bit of a
like
a cleansing sonic bath. So, like, raise this up. So,
okay, so we're gonna start low and it's gonna build up as Justin's doing. As you do it, you have to do it too. Please. Thank you.
I wish that Capital One CEO Rich Fairbank would play Magic the Gathering with me.
My name is Justin McElroy.
My name is Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
Say my brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows.
Supported
directly
by you.